Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? Gracious God, we come before you again this Sunday morning. We come before you just, Lord, seeking a word from you, seeking something that would just awaken us to the life, your life all around us, to your spirit all around us, Lord. We want to see you, Lord. We want to know you. God, we don't want to just live lives of comfort and ease and all this stuff. We want to live lives in you, Lord. So we pray together this morning that you would speak to us. That you would speak to us in a mighty way. That your Holy Spirit would come. And that you would dwell among us as the temple that you have made us through Jesus. That we wouldn't just say the words or sing the songs or pray the prayers, but that everything would flow out of you and your love for us. And then we would love you back. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. And use me, the sinner that I am, however you would. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is the last week of 1 Corinthians that we're doing. And we've gone through and we've talked about a bunch of stuff. But today I want to talk about something that God has really laid on my heart. I haven't been sure how to communicate this, how to say this, but God has been laying this on my heart. And so I want to talk about membership. So how do you know you belong to something? How do you know that you belong, that you're a member of something? So we might belong to a gym, right? And what happens when you join a gym? You go to the gym, you pay money, you put down a fee usually, like $100 typically, and then you pay your monthly fees. And every time you can go to that gym, the benefits are you can go to that gym whenever you want while they're open. Okay, you can't go at 2 o'clock in the morning if they close at 10, but you can go as a member of that gym. Or you can belong to something like Costco, right? This is my Costco card. And I know I'm a member because I have a card, right? And I have to show that card every time I go. And we pay a membership fee. And the benefits are that you can buy, 80 rolls of toilet paper for the cost of 20 or something like that, right? So you know your benefits. Season ticket holders, Ravens, Orioles, you pay a fee, you go and you get your seat. And you get to watch the games, right? There are benefits associated with these memberships. But how do we know that we're a member of the church? And by church, I don't just mean Orem's, right? I mean the church, like Christ's church, the bride of Christ. It's a little different, I would say. There's no fee, per se, that you pay, right? Christ paid for you to be a member on the cross with his death. He paid that price for you. Of course, we do talk about tithing and giving to the church and money, and we talk about giving of our time and our talents. We talk about those things. So there's giving there, but there's no set fee, right? There's no card necessarily, although, when you're baptized, you get a baptismal certificate typically, or you get a membership card if you join a local church. But, you don't have a card like this that you can just go around and say, I'm a member of that. Not really. But in order to be a member of the church, to be a member of the bride of Christ, you have to be of Christ. You have to be of Christ as Christ is of God, which is what is said here in verse 23, that all of these things are yours. So Paul is articulating that. And I've been convicted lately. Really, really convicted. Really, really challenged. By what we're doing sometimes. You know, God is pushing me sometimes to pretty uncomfortable places where I'm thinking about what are we doing when we make his grace cheap? When we just say that you can pray a prayer and believe and you're saved. We're going to talk about that. I mean, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? How do we know we're Christian? What are the benefits of this kind of membership? If we look at the text that we read today, and I just want to focus on a couple things here in verses 10 and 11, Paul is talking about how he built the foundation of the church in Christ. Right, and he talked about this before. If you've been going through it, he said that the one foundation is Christ crucified. So he says that he built this foundation on Christ. That others are building on top of it. They're building the church further up as they are members. But the foundation is Christ, just like the hymn we sang. In verses 16 through 17, and that's really the focus where this comes from, he says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple." He's saying not you individually are that temple here. He's saying, y'all. That's like, he's a good southerner here, right? He's using the plural form of you. He's saying, y'all are the temple. And that you're set apart, that you're holy. The temple is sacred. That's what that means. It's sacred. It's holy. It's set apart. And the kicker, the amazing thing, is that the Spirit of God dwells in your midst. The Spirit of God dwells in your midst as the temple. You know, we focus so much on Jesus and the Father, we forget the Spirit, but the Spirit resides in us when we believe, right? And we're going to talk about that. But the Spirit is where, we are directly communicating with God. And God is directly communicating with us through the Spirit. And so we can't discredit that. That is a huge thing, that the Spirit of God would be in our midst. And so as I've looked at this, I've thought about this week, who does the Spirit dwell in? As I was looking, I was thinking like, all right, well, who does the Spirit dwell in? Who does the Spirit dwell with? The temple is what this says here. And then, you know, people say, well, I believe in God, right? I believe in God. Does the Spirit reside with them just because they say they believe in God? James chapter 2, verse 19 says that even the demons believe that there is a God. You know, in the Gospels, the demons recognize Jesus as the Son of God before the humans do. They recognize him. They believe in him because they recognize. But does that mean that they are saved? No. No. And so there's more to membership than simply believing. There is. There's this place where we have to go beyond that. Not us, but the Spirit who's in us when we believe. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I went too far back, of course. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So hear me on this. I'm not saying that you have to earn your salvation. I would never say that. I grew up understanding salvation that way. But what happens is that when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God creates a new creation in you, that there's something that changes when it's real in your heart and you believe. And then when you believe, all of a sudden, when you confess your sins, and that's huge. We forget that. We don't want to confess. We don't want to repent. We don't want to turn from those things. We just want to hang out where we are and just say, I believe. But that isn't biblical. We have to confess. We have to repent. And we have to trust. And when we believe in this way, in our hearts, we're justified in Christ. That means that God makes us right through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. That we don't have to do anything but believe. But then guess what? Out of that belief, we receive the Spirit. And we're convicted to love, to do different things, works or birth. You know, you go to Romans chapter 12, verse 6, beginning there, and we see what happens. We're given different gifts according to the Spirit when we believe. And we have to go and we have to love. We have to... We've given different gifts, and if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. But we're given gifts, not just to hold on to for ourselves, not just to keep learning new things, but to give out of the Spirit who dwells in us. And so fruit of the Spirit is born in us, love, kindness, gentleness. That list that we went through with Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 last week, these things are born out of the Spirit who lives in us, out of the new creations that we are. And so we're justified in Christ when we believe and we confess and we turn from our ways. And then we're put on this process of sanctification, of being made perfect, which really means being made like Christ through the Spirit who dwells in us. That's God's sanctifying grace. And we also have to know that when we become members, we are not our own. Remember, Paul here in this passage, he's using that y'all. Right? Y'all, you're not your own. We are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that the Holy Spirit is in you if you believe. That you are a temple, but it's more the communal aspect of this. Therefore, you are, make no mistake about it, to not be normal, to not be like everyone else, to not be just hanging out, but to be holy and set apart like the temple that you are called to be. So do you know the Spirit? More importantly, does the Spirit of God know you? Does he reside in you? Look at your life now. What fruit are you bearing? What spiritual fruit can you see out of your life? Is there evidence of the Spirit being inside of you? Is there evidence of love being shared, of kindness, of gentleness, of peace, of graciousness? And I'm convinced more and more. And that's why I have to say something today. Like, this is so important. This matters eternally. It matters eternally. We are so concerned with the first 70 years of our lives, 80 years, whatever we are blessed with on this earth. How we're going to have fun, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. But what about that eternity? What about that thing that we all love to say, that we have eternal life in Jesus? What, you know, if there is that thing, if there is heaven and eternal life, why are we so concerned about a blip in the radar when we should be concerned about the full width of life? Which means that, if we take Jesus' word, he says that those who believe will be with me. I'll invite them. Those who trust in me. Those who birth good news. You know, if you look at Matthew 25, you know, there he goes through this whole thing. He goes through the sheep and the goats. And, you know, he says that those who fed the hungry, who clothed the naked, who gave water, you know, to the thirsty. All of those people who went in prison and visited me, those he's going to invite into his kingdom. And the people on the left who didn't do those things, they will be cast out. They will be cast out into eternal punishment. So stop being concerned with this 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years if we're lucky. That isn't where our life really is. That isn't it. Jesus calls us to something more. Jesus calls us to believe, to repent of our sins, to turn towards him. And no, we're not going to be perfect. We We're still going to sin. We're still going to mess up. But we're not living in that sin anymore, you see? And not by ourselves, but by the power of the Holy Spirit who is in us. And so are you a card-carrying member? This thing means nothing. Okay, what is that? I don't care about that card-carrying member. I care about the Holy Spirit residing in me. I care about the Holy Spirit residing in you, because it matters eternally. And so, do you know Christ? Do you know him? Does he know you? Does he know you? If he does, the Spirit resides in you. The benefits of this membership are different. We're talking about eternal life. We said that before. Jesus promises us, according to 1 John chapter 2, 25, and very many places elsewhere, he promises eternal life if we follow him. Follow him. Hear that. Not just believe, but follow him. He says in Luke 9, he says to pick up your cross daily and follow me. And so we actually have to follow him. We can't just say we believe in him. We can't just say that's it. That's a great starting point, but that is just the starting point. So that's the benefit for eternal life. But there's an even better benefit, is that you can have life to the fullest now. John chapter 10, verse 10, he says to his disciples, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so Jesus is calling you to membership, to a better membership than Costco or your gym, or even to the Ravens and the Orioles, you know. This is the kind of membership that is eternal. It is so much of a blessing for us that we just forget, we just overlook it, we just don't even think about it, that we could be forgiven of our sins, that all that stuff that we did in the past, that we're ashamed of, that we don't want anyone to know about, that we hurt from because we hold it inside, when we don't forgive our enemies or people who hurt us, who's the one that's hurting? It's hurting you. That's sin, and it's killing you. Jesus doesn't want that for you. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you think he's just saying that? No, he means that. And I can tell you he means that. Because he has taken my burdens from me. And every time that I fight to give him whatever that is that I don't want to give him, that I want to hold on to, I die inside because of that sin. Do you know what I'm talking about? But when I hand it over, when I lay it really at the cross and I give it to him, do you know the burden is lifted? And I am not special. And this can be for any one of you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so, when I stand before the judgment throne one day, James chapter 3, verse 1 says that not everybody should be a teacher because you will be held in higher standards, right? Jesus is going to ask me, what did you do? And I just want to say, I offered them Jesus. I offered them you. Because I know that it isn't me. Don't care what I say. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts you of anything that you're thinking right now. Anything that you're thinking about or hurting about or latching onto in your minds, it's the Holy Spirit who dwells among us as the temple that will convict you of what it is in your life that you need to do. come to me all who you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So I offer you Jesus this morning, nothing more, nothing less, because Jesus is everything. And so I don't know where you are with your walk. I don't know where you are with your sin. I don't know where you are with what you're holding on to that you just know you need to let go of, but you don't want to let go of it. I don't know where you are in all of these things. But I know that God forgives, not by God's grace. That God wants you in a relationship with him if you're not. And that it's amazing that God wants you to be in a deeper relationship with him if you are already in one. That God wants you to know that he does love you, like really love you enough to go to the cross for you, to die for you, to take on your sins for you so that you could have a right relationship with him. God wants you to know that. And so, those who want to believe, those who believe and want to recommit, God wants you to do that. Because you want to go deeper. And God wants to give you life to the full, remember, now. Those who want to believe but need help with their unbelief, you know, maybe you've backslidden, as Wesley would say. Maybe you've started, you know, you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. You started moving in that direction. You repented of your sin, but all of a sudden you find yourself doing some of those sins or some other sins again and again and again. And you know that isn't where you're supposed to be. Jesus says, I can fix that. Come to me, all you who are burdened and weary, and I will give you rest. And those of you who don't believe, because in every church, we know that there are people who don't believe. That's awesome. That's okay. I'm glad you're here if you don't believe. But maybe the Spirit has led you here this morning so that you would. Maybe you've been fighting things and you don't want to believe because it doesn't make sense or this or that or the other or whatever other excuse. But the Spirit is saying in your heart right now that I need to believe. I want to have life to the fullest. I am so weary. I am so burdened that I will give you a try, Jesus. Whatever it is, I invite you to commit, to recommit. You know, I invite you where you are, if you want to come up. You are the temple of the living God. The Spirit is in this place with us. And I don't forget what other people think about you. Hear that. Just go to Jesus. So you can come up front. You can stay in your seats. If you see someone who's struggling around you, as we pray in a minute, pray for them. But love them. As Jesus loves the church. So let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's prepare ourselves to be before the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you in our midst. We need you with us. We need you, Lord. Speak to the hearts of those who need to hear you now. Convict them. Invite them. Love them. Call them. Let them know that you are there. That you love them and that you want them to just love you too, that you just want them to turn from these things that are hurting them and killing them and to just turn towards you. Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Anoint us anew. Speak to us new words of life, new words of strength, new words of conviction that moves us into action and love for you. Lord, speak to us anew. Now I'm going to ask you if you would repeat after me, if you feel the prompting in your heart, that if you would repeat this prayer after me and just give your life to Jesus, no matter if you've done it before, no matter where you are, if you feel that calling, do it. Don't hesitate. Now is the time. God, I recognize that I have not lived my life for you up until now.
God, I recognize that I have not lived my life for you up until now.
I've been living for myself.
I've been living for myself.
That's wrong.
It's wrong.
I need you in my life.
I need you in my life.
I want you in my life.
I want you in my life.
I acknowledge the completed work of your Son, Jesus Christ. In giving his life for me.
In giving his life for me.
On the cross of Calvary.
On the cross of Calvary.
And I long to receive the forgiveness.
And I long to receive the forgiveness.
That you have made freely available to me through his sacrifice.
That you have made freely available to me through his sacrifice.
Come into my life now, Lord.
Come into my life.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Take up residence in my heart.
Take up residence in my heart.
Be my King.
Be my King.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I will no longer be controlled by sin.
I will no longer be controlled by sin.
Or to the desire to please myself. But I will follow you all the days of my life.
But I will follow you all the days of my life.
Those days are in your hands.
Those days are in your hands.
I ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name.
I ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name.
Amen. For those of you who pray that prayer in your heart, know that God will work in you. Be open to him. Trust in him. And he will do wonders. You have no idea. And I will be praying for you as always. Let me pray for you now. Gracious God, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for what you're doing in your temple. We thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your members. We thank you for being there, that we could come to you this morning, that we could have a direct line with you and just lay at your feet, Lord. So God, work in all of us. Work in all of us through your Spirit to convict us of those things that we need to let go of, to help us to just trust in you, to help us to want to serve you and to serve the world around us, to glorify your name. Let all the glory be yours. Change us, Lord. Make us new for you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to change the hymn, and we're going to sing 347.